Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, our guest is Alicia Sparks. This lady has so much going on, it's not even funny. She is an author. She's been a paranormal investigator, a psychic advisor. She reads tarot cards. She has run the gambit of the paranormal. So this looks to be a very interesting show. I'd like to welcome you to listen to the other World of Ink Network shows. We have The Book Discussion with Fran Lewis, The Writing Mama Show with Virginia Grenier, The Edge with Cassandra Dane, Right Step with R.J. Jeffries, and A Good Story is a Good Story with Marcia Casper Cook. So if the paranormal is not your thing, we have a little something for everybody on the World of Ink Network. Alicia, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for you to be here.
I know. I'm excited about this, too. This should be interesting.
I think it's going to be terribly interesting. Let's just dive right in. Usually I try to come up with some kind of witty segue, but I have a half a million questions I want to ask you and not nearly enough time to get them all out. So
okay.
I'm just going to start right in. When did you first become involved with the paranormal?
Well, according to my mother, who told me this several years ago, I wish she had told me this earlier, I had my first paranormal experience when I was about 18 months old, and she knows this because she experienced it at the same time I did. We were living in a really small trailer, and there was a closet in the bedroom that was close to the bed or something, and we were lying in bed. She was reading to me, and she saw me looking at the closet with this look of absolute terror on my face, and I was clinging to her. And she turned to look, and there was what she described as a glowing skull in the closet. So
I lived
my entire life terrified of the closet door. And it wasn't until my oldest son started having experiences. He's 19 now. And when he was about 3, he started having experiences with things that he was seeing in my house. And my mom said, oh, yeah, you used to do that, too, when you were younger. And I said, wow, wish you would have told me that. That would have explained so much. So I think that's where it all began.
It's strange how this sort of thing really does run in families.
It does.
It seems like most of the guests that I've had, in even for myself, that it's something that's sort of just passed down from generation to generation, and some families have it and some families just don't. Do you have, like, maybe your parents, grandparents, they've had these similar things too, or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, they did. But I am from a very rural area in Louisiana, extremely Baptist where I'm from. But there was a lot of folk remedies that were going around when I was younger. And as I got older, I have a PhD in folklore. And as I got older,
oh, wow,
and started studying these things from a, I guess you would say, a more scientific approach, I started realizing that the home remedies that everyone was claiming to use when I was younger was actually just sympathetic magic, where they would take, one of the examples was if a child was teething, you would take a coin and tie around the child's neck, and it would help with the pain, and it was just a way to direct the pain into an object. So I don't think they knew what they were doing as far as it being a type of magic, but it was something that was very much done in my community and still is done today, and people just don't realize that there's something kind of mystical about everything. Every family gathering starts with, I had a dream about you last night, and in this dream you did this, and the other person will say, oh my gosh, that happened to me, or, you know, something to that effect, or you'll get a call in a week and say, oh my gosh, do you remember that dream that you said you had? Let me tell you what happened yesterday. So,
wow.
You know, we're kind of used to all that sort of weirdness in my family, I think. And my grandfather on my father's side used to, you know, back in the old days, they walked everywhere down these very rural roads with no street lights or anything. And he would see things on a very regular basis. He would have people who walked beside him, you know, a quarter of a mile, and he'd turn around and there was no one there. So I grew up hearing these stories, you know, and thinking, wow, these people are a bunch of nuts. But then as I got older, I started realizing. Right.
Oh, wow. Well, so let's talk a little bit about your the paranormal investigation. When we talked earlier, you had said that you'd gone in on a couple investigations as a psychic advisor.
Right.
And that there were some things that happened. Do you want to tell us about those incidents?
Yeah, I want to start off by saying I know that people sort of have an impression when someone says I'm a psychic advisor. A lot of people have an impression of what that means, and people will say, oh, well, can you tell me when I'm going to get married or how many kids I'm going to have or when I'm going to, you know, win the lottery? And it doesn't work that way. I pick up sensations and I can pick up energy from different places. And I can, you know, it's kind of like a sixth sense where I can tell you if there's a bad corner that you don't want to go there, you know. It's one of those situations. And so the night that we went on our investigation, I'm just kind of along for fun. And I was like, oh, this will be cool. And I had my phone out and I was taking pictures. And we were in a funeral home. And the way the funeral home was set up was sort of, the hallways were sort of circular. And in the center of the hallways were the rooms where you could go in to purchase your casket. And there were some rooms for viewings and things of that nature. And around the outside was sort of were just hallways that sort of went around the edges. So we were walking around and everything was cool. And we got to a particular part. And of course, it being circular, I have no sense of direction. So I wasn't sure where the front door was. And I was like, wait a minute, this spot right here feels really weird. You know, there's just something that doesn't quite feel right with it. And the guys were like, okay, well, let's keep walking and see if there's anything else that feels kind of weird to you. So we walked some more, and they just sort of recorded my impressions. I was like, hey, this spot feels kind of strange. It's a little bit cooler over here and, you know, just having fun. And they said, okay, you know, now we're going to go outside, make sure all the cameras are working, turn off the lights, and go back in. I said, we're going to do what? Turn off the lights and go back in. I said, you mean in the dark? They're like, yeah, in the dark. I said, so we're going to go back inside in the dark. Let me get this straight. I did not sign up for that. And so when I went back in the dark, I was extremely confused then because it was dark, obviously. So I wasn't sure what hallway I was on and how everything related to the front door. It was just really strange, you know, going into a place that now the lights are off, and I totally lost my sense of direction. So we went down one hallway, and we were about to turn a corner, and I just froze. And I couldn't move, and I've never had that feeling before. And my husband turned around and said, are you okay? We need to, you know, keep moving. And I said, I can't. He said, what do you mean you can't? I said, okay, I can't breathe, and I can't move, and I'm leaving right now. And he said, but you can't leave. We've got to keep going. I said, no, you don't understand. I can't move. I'm out of here. So I turned around and finally made it to the door and had a full-out panic attack. And in the meantime, the guys who were running the investigation were sitting outside, and they were watching everything on the monitors. And about the time that I made it outside, they saw a shadowy figure move across the frame at the exact spot where I'd been standing. So that kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Ow.
Because whatever was there that my body wouldn't let me move forward, you know, I feel like there was definitely something there that I wasn't supposed to encounter that night. So, you know, that was kind of my creepy experience. And I decided I needed to go back in, of course, and face my fears. And the next time when I got to that corner, I was like, nah, I'm not. I'm out of here. So I'm not a very brave investigator. I'm kind of a chicken when it comes to that. But it was a lot of fun. And once I looked back over the tapes from that night and could view it later on from a safe distance, then I got to really realizing what the feelings, you know, the different feelings I was having, and that it was mm-hmm. indicating to me that, hey, there is something paranormal happening around this corner. And it was interesting because, you know, after everything was over, then the guys who were running the investigation decided they would tell me the history of the building. And that particular hallway that I was about to turn around, the secretary who works there in the front of the building refuses to go down that hallway. And she's worked there for about 20 years. And the storage room is on the other end of the hallway. So instead of going down the hall to go to the storage room, she goes outside of the building, completely around to the back to the storage room, and then goes back around the building. So, you know, there's definitely something going on with that hallway there.
Oh, wow.
That was a pretty interesting night.
That is freaky.
Yeah, it's very freaky.
I love ghost hunting. I love it. I mean, I just got into it this year where I was actually, like, purposely going out and trying to find them. But, because usually they just find me.
Right.
But, I really enjoyed it. It's kind of become a bit of an addiction. Enough so that I'm now looking into getting my own equipment. So
right.
I can do it whenever I feel like it, instead of going just whenever, you know, a certain group
right.
of time I can go with. So I
well,
I,
and I I'm like that too. I enjoy doing it, but I'm afraid of my shadow. I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm a scaredy cat, and so people ask me, you know, why do you go and do these things? And I really don't know the answer to that, other than the fact that it's just completely fascinating to me, you know, that we're having these experiences that, you know, regular science can't explain these things to us. So, and there are enough of us out there having these experiences that it just makes you wonder, you know, is there something going on? And if there is, then what is it? So I think that's why I keep going back, even though I'm, you know, biting my nails down as I'm doing it.
Well, I don't know... if anybody ever really gets really used to interacting with the paranormal. I was just talking to a good friend of mine the other day about this, because she is inundated with ghosts and spirits as well. And we were discussing about how you build up this kind of immunity to it, where you get to the point where you sort of just block it out and you notice that something's going on, but you don't really... you don't focus on it, and then it doesn't bother you. But it still doesn't stop those times where there's startle factor.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, crap.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I don't think, if it goes away, I don't know how you do that, because I haven't yet figured out how to, when I went into
right.
that nursing home at the Smackover investigation, dude, I was all kinds of freaked out.
Right.
I was scared to death and trying to be so calm and scared to death.
Right.
But I'd still go back. I'd go right back to that same place and do it all over again.
Exactly. And that's the way I am too.
Yeah. It's cool.
A few years ago, I was in charge of my son's senior prom. And we chose this building in the middle of a little town, you know, I'm going to say the building was maybe built in the 70s. You know, it's not a place that's known for any kind of activity at all. So to turn on the lights to this building, I had to go up a stage, and the lights were on the side of the stage. And every time I stepped down from the stage, I felt like something was behind me wanting to push me down those steps every single time from the very first time. And I kept thinking, you know, what is going on? I know it was a high-stress situation. I was trying to get everything done in a short amount of time. And I had, the first night I was decorating, my keys and my wallet went missing. And they didn't just go missing, but they, you know, they just flat disappeared. And the next day we found them in a spot where we had already moved them, some things looking for them specifically the night before. So it was kind of, I thought, okay, something has moved these things. And that was something that, in my experience, I had never experienced a spirit or anything that could physically move something. So that sort of, you know, caught my attention. And I ended up having to go back to the building the night after prom was over. I had to go back by myself in the middle of the night because I had forgotten to lock a door. So I went to the building and made it to the door that I needed to lock. It had to be locked from the inside. And as soon as I got there, I heard something breathing in my ear. And I really about lost it. And I turned around and I thought to myself, okay, you can't run. Because, you know, you don't run from things that you're afraid of. You just have to walk away slowly. So I kept looking, and I'm like, okay, I can make it to this table that's right in front of me. Okay, two more steps, made it to the table. Okay, I've got two more feet to go before I make it to the next table. And I literally counted everything until I made it out. When I got out to my car, the car wouldn't start. It was like dead battery. So I just sat there for a few minutes and completely freaking out over it, going, okay, this is not happening to me. I finally got the car started, and it was the next day before I was able to look at the pictures that we had taken at the prom. And when I looked at the pictures, there were orbs all in the pictures. It was just like the orbs were having a party that night. And,
Wow.
So once I saw that, then I went in the next day to tear everything down and was like, okay, buddy, whoever was in here screwing with me this weekend, you know, come on out and let's take some pictures of you. Because I was brave that day. I had my whole crew with me tearing down. So, you know, that was a little bit different.
It is easier to be brave when you have a group of people around.
And in the daytime, when it's not 2 in the morning and you're by yourself. I had a friend with me who was on, I was texting him the whole time, and I said, okay, I'm about to go into the creepy building by myself. If you don't hear from me within 5 minutes, you know, send out a search party. So, but it was a scary experience, and I think about it now, and I think, I'm such a scaredy cat. How was I able to do that? So, but I made it.
That's kind of the feeling I think you get when you're done with all of them, every investigation, isn't it? You're like,
right.
Okay, I made it.
Well, and it's such an adrenaline rush. It really is.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. If I'm not addicted, I'm on the verge of a massive addiction to that.
Right, right.
So I'm to the point now. I'm still rational about it, and I'm still reasonable, but
yeah,
I'm standing on the precipice.
Right, right.
Waiting
and
to
see,
fall over.
I'm still, you know, I'm trying to look at it from a scientific point of view, and you get to the point where you just take all the science and throw it, and you're like, okay, screw it. There's no science here. Let's just keep going with it.
Yeah.
So, I can't find the explanation I'm looking for.
Well, and then sometimes I've done a couple investigations where there wasn't anything. There just was nothing.
Right.
And even though there were some stories, you know, about the places and people, one place in particular, a friend of mine had numerous personal experiences, and we got nothing at all.
Right. And I've had that happen a couple of times, too.
It's a bit disheartening, don't you think? It sort of feels
it is,
like
and, you know, it's not only that, but I think when you go into a place, especially if it's someone's home, and that person has been having experiences, and you go in and there's nothing, you know, it really is upsetting to them, almost as upsetting as if there was something, because then they think, well, am I going crazy? You know, what is it that I keep seeing or hearing? And, you know, there's really no way to answer that question other than, you know, multiple investigations and hoping that you catch something. And then when you do, that's not any more, you know, that doesn't ease their mind anymore, really. So there's no happy ending to these situations.
Yeah, I agree. And that is sometimes almost worse for them because there's always that, you know, even I have gone through that myself. In an investigation I went on, things I was feeling, and then they got some evidence to back up what I was feeling, and I had that sense of relief. Okay, wow, okay, I really am feeling this. I'm not
right.
crazy.
Right, right. And I think that we constantly look for that validation every time we do an investigation because you don't want, you know, you want some sort of validation. You want to say, okay, there is something here. It's not just a trick that my mind is playing on me or, you know, something
right.
to that effect.
I agree with that 100%.
And I think that 100%. We're all trying to find a place in there where we can say, you know, what you just said of, okay, I'm not crazy. There is something definitely strange going on here.
Yeah. They can't lock me up now.
Right, exactly.
let's talk a bit about how you got into reading cards. I mean, did you just one day decide, hey, I'm going to try this, or how did that all come about?
I don't know. I remember when I bought my first deck, and I still have my first deck. I was either 16 or 17, and I was at the mall with a friend, and she's like, oh, tarot cards. I'd never heard of them. I didn't know what they were. And I just knew it was something that would really freak my parents out. So we both ended up buying a deck and, you know, hiding them and everything. But I just sort of started playing around with them and reading my own and reading my friends and, you know, using the book that went with the cards to sort of help me figure out how to do it and how to understand it. And then over the years, it just became something that was, I guess, kind of natural to me, where it started when I was in graduate school, it really started to click and make a lot of sense to me. And I stopped using the book and was able to just focus on the cards and figure out what they were saying. But I was still kind of treating it, I guess, as a parlor game, I guess. You know, my friends and I would get together and be like, oh, let's read the cards. It ought to be fun. And as I got a little bit older then, I realized, you know, wait a minute, I'm actually doing something here. I'm actually able to tell people things. And when I started reading for people who I'd never met and who I didn't know, that's when it really started to click. And I was like, wow, there's really something to this. But I don't know, and people will ask me this, well, how does it work? I have no idea how it works. I just know that it works. And, you know, I can sit down with the cards and depending on, you know, what's going on, I mostly just predict change. I can tell you if something good is coming your way, if there's a lot of chaos and turmoil. I can tell you if you've got a lot of people depending on you and if you're the type of person that everybody turns to for the answers in their lives. You know, I can tell you things like that. I can't tell you you're going to have 4 kids and 3 marriages and, you know, you're going to live in Vegas. I can't tell you any of that stuff.
That's good to know.
So, yeah.
For the listeners, Alicia has very kindly consented to do a reading for me. We're going to do that live on air. And if you had told me I was going to have 4 more kids, I'd have died right here.
No.
On the show.
I may say,
no.
Is there... Do you
shuffle that deck
test?
Again.
Right. And it's really funny. My brother, I feel like I can say this because it's been years ago, but he was in a really bad relationship with this girl when he was much younger. And he would come to me to read their cards, and I would read them, and he's like, do it again. I don't like that one. So I would read it again, and I'm like, dude, we could do this all night, and it's going to tell you the same thing. You know, this is a toxic relationship. It's bad for both of y'all. Get out. And he's like, well, do it again. And I'd look at him, and I'd say, do you want the real reading, or do you want me to give you a sunshine reading that's not what it's actually saying? You know?
We have a question from the chat room.
Okay.
She's asking, is it just a feeling or do you see it?
It's both. It's both. And you mean with the cards, right? Or
I'm assuming so, yes.
Okay, with the cards, it's really both. A lot of times I can kind of see what's going on, and it's funny, I've been sort of paying attention to my method a little bit lately, and I feel like I'm really concentrating on what the cards look like, and that gives me sort of an image of what I see going on in the person's life. And then whenever I have a vision about somebody, which comes, you know, out of the blue, it's stuff that I can't predict, can't control. I may pass by someone on the street and have a vision of them and not even know them, and so I don't know if it comes true or not. But when I have something
uh-huh.
like that, it's something that I actually see, where I can see, usually I'll see the person's career, or, you know, I see that a lot with students. I work with students a lot, and I may meet a student for the first time, and I'll instantly have a flash of that person's career or the type of person that person's going to marry or something to that effect.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll get a big picture, a visual, and that kind of goes along with the feeling, I guess you would say.
Oh, wow. That is
yeah.
so neat. See, now I wish I could do something like that.
Well, it's neat, but it comes with a price. Let me tell you a little story. I know we're going to read the cards, but I feel like I need to tell you this story, too. So I had
you
this
go right
good
ahead.
Friend. I had this good friend, and she owns a toy store. And I had known her maybe for a few months, maybe for a year, but I'd never met her husband. And, you know, real religious, Baptist religious people, and I keep saying Baptist because there's not a lot of mysticism in the Baptist religion. So when I met her husband, not the way you would see in Catholicism.
No,
so
yeah,
when I first
I'm laughing
met,
because I agree with you.
Oh, okay. I'm not making fun of my Baptist. I'm just saying it's a different type of religion. So when I first met her husband, I shook his hand, and I instantly knew that there was something wrong with his heart. And it worried me, and I thought, oh, my gosh, how can I tell my friend, who we were not close friends. We were just,
uh-huh.
you know, associates. And I thought, oh, my gosh, how can I tell her that there is something wrong with his heart? And it really put me in a full panic. And I never did say anything to her. And about a week after I had met him, he ended up going into the hospital because he was having chest pains. It ended up not being anything major, thank God, but it was enough that it really scared me, and I thought, well, the next time I get a feeling
uh-huh.
about somebody, I'm just going to say, look, I know this sounds crazy, but I think you might need to go get your heart checked out, you know, and find a tactful way of saying that. Because I don't have a lot of tact, so.
That's understandable. I mean, I imagine, had it been a massive heart attack, heaven forbid, that you would have
right.
carried a lot of guilt.
Right.
About
well,
that,
and I already felt pretty bad about it.
Yeah. Well, that is definitely a price. It seems like with any gift that can be deemed paranormal or supernatural, in any way, there
yeah.
is some cost, whether it's some cost to your sanity, some cost to your pride, sometimes sleepless nights, that there is a price to pay.
Right.
For sure. This
and
reading
now,
is going to be very interesting because in the chat room is author Kimberly Burks Miller, who's one of my very best friends.
Okay, hi.
And, hi, Kim. And she knows absolutely everything about me. So it's going to be more interesting because just so you know, listeners, when we get to the reading, which we're not going to do quite yet, but I just spoke to Alicia for the first time tonight. She doesn't really know much about me at all.
Right,
so,
right.
We didn't talk about anything personal. We've kept it very cold other than just talking about her. So that when she gives the reading, there'll be some really good validation there because she really doesn't know anything about me personally at all.
Right, right.
Now, and I think that's going to make it really interesting because Kim is going to be able to jump and go, oh, yeah.
It was pretty fun. I got together with some ladies from work, and it was my first, I guess you would say, girlfriend night out. And these were ladies that, to be honest, I didn't know them very well. I just knew them from work. And one of them I referred to by a pretty nasty nickname because she had always been so mean to me. And so, you know, she had this nasty nickname in my head. And that night I read her cards and I looked at her. I looked across the table at her and I said, "So, you're not really a bitch, are you?" I said, "You're putting up these defenses because you're afraid to let people in." And she's like, "No, what are you talking about?" I said, "I've got your number right here in the cards." I said, "So you're not this mean person that everyone thinks you are." I was like, "I've totally got you figured out now." So it was really interesting because the reading told me her true personality when she was, you know, showing everyone else at work this completely different personality. So now we're friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, what do people say? I mean, especially like in that instance, these are folks you work with. I mean, do the people, everybody that you work with, know that you have all these gifts, or
no,
what do they
all
say
just
when
think
they
I'm
find
weird.
Out?
They all just think I'm kind of weird. It was really I've known these people for about a year and a half now, and slowly sharing a little bit more of my life with them. And, you know, they were like, "Oh, well, we just thought you were weird. We didn't really know that you were really weird." And,
we just
thought you were. Now we have proof. But one of the ladies, it was her going away party, and her grandmother was a curandera, which is a Mexican witch. And so we sort of bonded over that. And, you know, the fact that she had kind of grown up with some of this mysticism. So it wasn't as risque of a topic as it may have been in a different circle. So I just have a handful of ladies that I work with who know that there's a little bit something else going on with me other than just being weird. So.
Well, I think culturally where we live in the country has a lot to do with it.
Yes, it really does.
Living in the South, especially this particular area, Arkansas, Mississippi,
right.
Louisiana,
right.
Even Texas, until you start getting close to, you know, the Mexican border anyhow, in that geographic area, there is very, very... Well, how do I want to word this without offending people? Because I don't want to offend anyone. It appears from the people I've talked to and those that I've met that there is not as much of an open-mindedness
right.
about things that would be considered paranormal.
Right.
Now, I know it's like that. There's lots of places across the United States and even maybe the whole world where it's kind of frowned upon and people think you're nuts, but there are certain areas where it is just accepted.
Right.
You know, it's just, wow, that's, you know, I mean, you get up close to Salem, everybody and their dog's a witch. If they're
right,
not a witch now, they used to be, or they knew
exactly.
someone that was, or their family was, or, you know, and that's just a thing. No offense to people in Salem that aren't witches either, because I'm not saying that everybody in Massachusetts is a witch.
Right, right.
But I think living in the South, that makes it difficult, because I don't...
It does.
I know lots of people around here, not oodles and gobs, but I've talked to lots of people, and I don't discuss that. Most of them don't even know that I've written books about...
Right.
...with true ghost stories, because I don't bring it up.
Right. Well,
in
my profession, if I were to completely come clean about everything that I know and that I'm able to do, I know that I would lose my job, because there is a sense of misunderstanding and mistrust, and it has nothing to do really. It does have to do with a part of the country, but not really. I think it's just that fear of the unknown. I don't think it would really matter where I was. Let's say, you know, if you were in Salem, and I don't know a whole lot about the religious culture of Massachusetts, but I know that in Louisiana there are a lot of Baptists. I think it's a Southern thing. If you were Southern Baptist and you moved up to Salem, you might have people looking at you kind of strangely, you know, because it's just the unknown. So I
yeah.
think that there's that fear of the unknown, and it doesn't matter what your religion is or what what the unknown quality is that you bring with you. You know, I think that we all have that sort of fear there.
I agree with that. That's a typical human reaction. If you can't understand it, then you're terrified of it.
Right. Well, are you ready to go with the reading now?
Let's do this reading. I'm excited about it.
I have my cards out. First of all, I want to explain a little bit to everyone about how I do this. When I first started, of course, I said that I bought a deck and it had a book with it. And if you decide that you're going to start reading cards, get a deck with a book because there are some without a book that just are, you know, when I first started, there's no way I could have read those cards. But I bought a deck called the Mystic Tarot, and it's completely based on Greek mythology, which is right up my alley because, like I said, I have the degree in folklore. So I've studied mythology from a literary perspective, from a historical perspective, and now as part of, you know, the use in the tarot cards. So it's something that I feel like I really understand. And what I used to do is lay all the cards out, you know, face down, sort of fan them out, and have the person pick 10 cards. And what I realized was happening is they were second-guessing themselves, and there was too much of an opportunity to mess things up and say, oh, I feel like this card is pulling me, but what if it's not? Because the people who are getting their readings are not psychic. That's the reason why they're sitting down and getting the reading. So what I started doing with them and what I do now is I sit here and I shuffle the cards up a little bit, and then I hand them to the person, and I say, you know, just mix them around until they feel right. And they say, well, what do you mean feel right? I'm like, you'll know. Just mix them around a couple of times. It doesn't matter. And if a card falls out, we just take it and set it aside, because those cards that fall out of the deck are supposed to be part of the reading. You know, I don't believe that I don't believe in chance when it comes to this. So even though a typical reading is 10 cards, I may read 15 cards if a whole stack falls out. And that's just the way I deal with it. I do what's called a Celtic cross reading, which basically means that you'll have two cards in the center. One is your situation card, and it's going to be laying sideways, and then on top of it will be the crossing card. And those two cards are either working together or in opposition to each other, depending on what they are. Sometimes I see those two cards and I say, okay, here's what they are, but I can't tell you what they mean yet because I'm not seeing much of the picture yet. So, you know, we may have that where this is a situation, here's what's happening with it, but I don't know what it means yet. The next card will be at the top, and it's called the surface of the situation, and it's things that you already know about that are happening right now, probably things that happened today, this week. The other card will be what's considered beneath the surface, and it's usually stuff that you know about but you don't want to admit yet, or it's things that you kind of feel like are coming your way but you're not ready for them, maybe a trip in a couple of weeks or something like that. Then we have the card, which is things that you're moving away from, and then the next card is things that you're moving toward. And usually those six cards are going to tell me a story about what's happening in your life right this second. Then the other four cards are more kind of long-term cards. The first of those will be how you see yourself, and we're very, very critical of ourselves, especially when you see yourself, you know, through a tarot deck. You're going to see, you know, the thing that bothers you the most about yourself is what you're going to see. And then the next card is how other people see you. And usually that's also pretty blatant as well. If you're the type of person that people constantly count on for something, they may see you as being kind of a sucker. Okay, I can constantly count on this person because this person will do whatever and it doesn't matter. Or they may be counting on you because they truly see you as a strong person. So, you know, it just depends on the type of people you have around you. The next card is the hopes and fears. And usually the thing that we want the most is also the thing that we're afraid of the most. For example, I can use myself here. The thing that I want the most is I want to wake up tomorrow and have my book sell 1 million copies overnight. I am terrified of that happening also. because it's a complete game changer. Now that means, yeah, I've sold a million copies and yay, I'm rich. But now I have the pressure of doing it again. So it's both a hope and a fear. And then the last card is the final outcome. And I tell everyone if it's the death card, it doesn't mean you're going to die. It's actually just a final outcome for about the next 2 weeks. And if absolutely nothing in the situation changes and continues down the path it's going right now, then that's what you're looking at over the next couple of weeks. And then I say, okay, see me back in 2 weeks. So you and I will have to get together in about 2 weeks and see what's going on. So does all that make
that
sense?
That works for me. Yes,
okay,
that does.
Now.
That was a wonderful explanation.
Okay. And as I go through with the actual reading, I'm going to repeat a lot of what I just said so that you'll know what card I'm on and what it means and everything. So right now
okay,
what I'm doing is I'm shuffling up the cards, and I have very small hands and very big cards. So I don't actually do a Vegas shuffle on them. I just sort of mix them up. You know, I pull a few cards and just sort of shuffle them around. Okay, so I'm through shuffling. Now what I do is I turn over the first 10 cards, of course, and I lay them out in the Celtic cross spread, which is the way that I just explained. And I can already start seeing a picture forming with your cards. Oh, wow. This is going to be good.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Is Kim still there? Is she still there?
She is still here.
Okay, Kim. You'll have to tell me if this is accurate or not. Okay. Your situation is the Nine of Swords. Sword cards usually deal... I didn't go over that beforehand. You have the Major Arcana and the Minor Arcana. The Minor Arcana is made up of Pentacles, Swords, Cups, and Wands. Your Swords cards, which is what both of your first two cards are, deal usually with conflict. And that's okay, you know, because we have to have conflict to grow. But Swords deal with conflict, with interactions with other people, but not necessarily with your relationships with other people. Relationships are more the Cups cards. Wand cards deal with movement, and Pentacle cards deal with money. So back to your reading here. Your Nine of Swords is your first card. You are in a situation where it feels like you have to make a decision. And you've got, in the picture here, you have nine different swords pointing at you, and they're all expecting you to make a decision, and you're not sure what to do. You've got your hands over your head, kind of at the point of almost frustration, where you're not really sure what decision to make. According to this card, you're not at the point of depression over it yet, but it's one of those things where you feel like if you don't make a decision soon, you know, something's got to give. You're at that point where something's got to give. So that's the situation. It's being crossed by the Queen of Swords. Now, the Queen of Swords is interesting because it's not a bad card at all. It's a card that shows that you are a strong-willed person and you like to be in charge of things. But in doing that, people sometimes get the wrong impression of you. And sometimes they think that you are sort of cold-hearted and distant and sort of separated from emotion, when that's really not true. The truth of the matter is you realize that the decision you have to make is going to affect other people, and so you're trying to take emotion out of the picture so that you're not making the decision based on emotion, because you want to make it based on intellect and you want to make it based on what would be the best for everyone involved rather than just an emotional decision. I know that's not the best word ever, but so that's your situation. Does that sound accurate so far?
It's exceedingly accurate.
Okay. I probably gave you way too much information there, but bottom line, it's funny, when I used to do my brother's cards, he would say, okay, now give me the Jerry Springer version of it, which meant he wanted here's the bottom line, the wrap up, you know. But the bottom line version of those two cards is you have to make a decision. You don't know which decision to make, and you realize how important the decision is, so you're trying to take emotion out of the picture. Now, here's where the problem comes in. On the surface of the situation, you have the hanged man. And the hanged man is Prometheus from mythology. And Prometheus made a bad decision, or a good decision, depending on how you want to view it. I mean, I'm kind of glad he, you know, stole fire from the gods and gave it to men. But the decision that he made ended up putting him in a position where he had to pay for it, and you're afraid that that's going to happen. You're afraid that the decision that you make is going to put you in a position where bad things are going to happen or where things are not going to be as good as you thought. So you're afraid to make a decision because of that. So far we've got need to make decision, very afraid to make the decision. But beneath the surface of the situation, you have the sun. And the sun is one of the major arcana cards. And I don't know what that means. All I know is that it's of a different type of card. And the sun card means that you already know the answer. And you have, I'm going to, you know, use cliched terms here, you have some sort of a light that is guiding you and is showing you that this is the decision that needs to be made. So basically, you're creating a problem where there's not one. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Because you already know the answer.
Yes, it actually does make sense.
Okay. You already know the answer. You already know the decision to make, but you're second-guessing yourself, and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, is this the right one, and what if this, and what if that? So screw all that. You already know the answer. So whatever that instinct is telling you, that little light that you've got is telling you, that's the way you're supposed to go. Okay, what you're moving away from is the Justice card. Justice wants everything to be fair, and it wants everything to be equal. You just want everybody to be okay. You want all the situations to be even and fair and everything to be smooth. And that's what you're moving away from, is that feeling that everything is just smooth and even-tempered and everything. And what you're moving into is Ace of Pentacles. So that tells me, with Ace of Pentacles, that your decision you have to make has something to do with job-related or something to do with money. Is that accurate or not? There's some sort of financial, there's a financial aspect to it.
Yes,
maybe. And it may not be quitting a job or anything like that, but there's definitely a financial aspect to this decision that you need to make. And the Ace of Pentacles is a beginning card. Whatever decision you're about to make is the right one. You already know it's the right one, but it's not the end journey. Whatever decision you make and wherever this is that you're headed, it's not the place you're supposed to be forever. It's a temporary stop along the way. And the reason for that is because it's the Ace of Pentacles. If it were a higher number card than just the Ace, then I would say you're headed on a new career path that's going to be, you know, that's going to lead you to your future. This is just a step along the way. So there will be many other changes and many other decisions to go along with this financial thing. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So
yes, this is so weird. I'll tell you
okay.
why when you're done. This is
okay.
really weird.
So far, you have decision to make. You're scared to make a decision. You already know what the correct decision is, and it's just a step along the way in your journey. It's not the end journey, that's for sure. Okay, how you see yourself is kind of interesting here. You have the Page of Wands, and the Page card, remember I said wand usually means a journey of some sort, and the Page card has this sense of, it can have a sense of innocence about it, or it can have a sense of childishness about it, depending on how you look at it. And what the Page usually is you feel like people are talking about you. And I think that's the reason why you're having a hard time making a decision, is because you feel like everybody's judging you and everybody's talking about you and everybody's saying, oh, what's Willow going to do? Is she going to do this or is she going to do this? And, well, if I were her, I would do this. You're really feeling that a lot, that you're the topic of people's conversations. And what's interesting about it is how everyone sees you. Everyone is talking about you. I hate to tell you that. Or maybe that's a good thing. But other people, I don't know. Other people see you as the Four of Cups, and the Four of Cups is a relationship card. So the people who are close to you are talking about you. Now, that doesn't mean they're gossiping, but they're talking about the decision. They're talking about you and what's going to happen with you, and probably always have been. You're probably the type of person that's kind of on other people's mind. Does that make sense? Or do I need to say it a different way?
Say it a different way because I'm not...
Okay. You are, you're kind of a topic of conversation in your circle. People are interested...
Probably because I'm the weirdest one.
Okay. People are interested in what you're going to do, and they're asking and they're talking about, you know, what is she going to do or what is she doing now and what is she wearing today? You know, people look at you and they talk about you. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're gossiping and being snide about everything. It just means that you are a person that other people are interested in and they're interested in talking about. I'm seeing a lot of talking with these two. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, your hopes and fears is actually kind of interesting, and it's going really deep into things that you may not want to talk about, and I understand that. It's the Five of Cups, and the Five of Cups represents a betrayal, and it's usually a betrayal that still hurts a lot, even though it's over with, and it's something that you never thought would happen because it was someone who was really, really close to you. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that someone has cheated on you or anything like that, but it's a betrayal that hurt really bad just the same. It could have been a friend that you thought you could count on and you realized you couldn't. And that being your hopes and fears is kind of interesting because you're hoping that you can move past this and be able to be on your journey, and you're afraid that you won't move past it. But then at the same time, you're afraid if you do move past it that it's just going to happen again because whatever kind of betrayal it was something that cut really deep and is hard to get over. So does that make sense? Okay.
Perfect.
Now, your final outcome with all of this, and I couldn't have said it better if I were making this up, but your final outcome is the Hermit. And the Hermit card is a card when, as you would suspect, is a card that says you're supposed to be by yourself for a little while. And that doesn't mean relationship status is single now or anything like that. It just means you need to take some time over the next couple of weeks to really look at yourself really hard and say, okay, who am I? What do I stand for? What am I looking for out of life? Because right now I'm seeing a lot of trying to please other people. Because the decision that you have to make all the way back to the beginning is, you know, you're afraid of how it's going to affect other people. And then you see yourself as someone who other people talk about, and so other people are sort of counting on whatever you decide. It's true that other people are talking about you and are probably counting on you. You're afraid of this betrayal. So with all of these things sort of swirling around in your head, you really need to take some time to just sort of step away from it all because you already know what the answer is. You've got that with the Sun card, which was your beneath the surface of the situation card. So you've got that. You already know what the answer is. You just need to step away from the situation long enough to allow yourself to do whatever it is that you know you're supposed to do already. So does that make any sense at all?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I've got to tell you because I know you're not in chat. I believe, Marcia, is that you in chat? If it is, tell me, because I can't, I'm watching the chat room. it is Marcia, and she was listening to you, and she put OMG, because Marcia also knows me really, really well.
Okay.
And between her and Kimberly, they know just about everything there is to know about me.
Okay.
So it was
This is the part of the reading where I look at the client and say, all I want to know is, am I right or not? You know, I don't care what's going on in your life. Just tell me if I'm right.
It makes total sense to me. We have a caller. Okay. Caller?
Yes.
Are you there, caller?
Hi.
Is this Marcia?
Hey, Marcia, how you doing? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Who's
I'm here.
The caller?
Hi, my name is Trish.
Hi, Trish. Did you have a question for us?
I did. I am in the process of relocating, getting a new job, and I guess so the one area in my life that I'm a little unclear about is relationship. And I was wondering if you could give me a little insight how that might play out.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to look at my deck here, and I'm going to pull a card randomly, and we're going to see what it tells you. Uh-oh. I love this. It tells me that you are in a position, the card that I pulled is the Fool, but don't take offense to that, okay? It tells me that you're in a position where you are kind of, how do I put this? You're sort of afraid to step into something new because you don't know if it's going to be a new exciting adventure or if it's something that's just going to make you look foolish. And what you have to do with that is you have to build up your confidence and say, I'm ready for the new adventure, and I'm going to step off in it. And, hey, if I end up looking foolish, I'm just going to stand up, brush myself off, and keep going. And I think that's probably how you need to treat relationships, is new things are going to come your way, and you have to take a chance on those things rather than just sitting back and saying, well, if I do this, what if I, you know, what if this works out or this doesn't work out? Just don't worry about any of that. Just take a chance and see what's going to happen. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, it does make sense.
Okay, cool.
Okay, thanks for calling, Trish.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay, so I'm sorry about I didn't mean to interrupt. I thought it was Marcia,
oh, no.
But it's good we took a caller because I like it when they get to call in. So about
yeah,
my
that's
reading.
Pretty cool. Okay.
I haven't seen anything from Kim on here. Kim, what did you think about that? What did you think about my reading? For me, everything made perfect sense.
Okay, good.
Everything made perfect sense, and it was absolutely dead on. The only thing that didn't was the Justice card, the moving away from the feeling of fairness.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of didn't apply at this present moment. Now, as I think about this later, I'm sure
right.
I'm going to end up going, oh, yeah.
Well, the thing is with it, you know, it may be that you're not moving away from that, but you're not going to let it be the deciding factor anymore. So maybe that's what I should say with that. Even though, you know, where it is in the spread is the things that you're moving away from. But it may be that, you know, if that's just a part of who you are and a sense of justice is part of your makeup, then maybe you're not moving away from it altogether. But you're not going to use it to try to influence this decision that you have to make.
Yeah,
so maybe that's a better way of putting it.
that makes sense. Because honestly, I mean, this is a colossal decision that I've got to make.
Right.
Kimberly Bergs Miller is on the line. She's going to call in. She wants to talk
okay,
to us.
Okay, cool.
Are you there, Kim?
I am on the line. I'm here.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, so what? Were you blown away?
When you just said I don't know where the Justice card fits into it. I knew where every portion of what she said fit into everything.
Oh, wow, cool.
So I know.
That's what I like
And
to
we'll
hear.
Talk about it when we're off the air, and I'll remind you about the Justice card.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, because
That was amazing. Because actually,
she's going to translate it for you.
I'm contemplating actually moving to an entirely different state soon.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Really soon. So.
Well, I think you've already made your decision according to this. You already know which
way
you're supposed to
go.
Well, I know. But the funny thing is what you said, Alicia, about her, she waffles.
Right,
she knows
right.
what mm-hmm. she's supposed to do. And her and I have had multiple conversations where she's She's waffling. She knows what she's got to do.
Well, and I think that the problem is, the answer to the problem is what I see in the Ace of Pentacles. You're afraid that this move is going to be, okay, this is it now, this is my life. And that's not true. This is just the stepping stone to the next part. And, you know, as far as, like, for me, if I move somewhere else, I want it to be, okay, I'm here and this is it. I don't want it to be a stepping stone. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know what kind of person you are. If you're the type that's up for an adventure and says, okay, hey, yeah, this can be a stepping stone. But wherever you're going is not going to be forever. Or if it is, the situation is going to change once you get there. And in a couple of weeks or a month or a couple of months, then it's going to start solidifying. And I can say, hey, wait a minute, that move that you made or the move that you didn't make, that's the way you were supposed to go, because now all this more permanent stuff is happening.
Well, funny that you should say that, because earlier today I was in a very long conversation with a close friend of mine about, you know, this exact thing, because this big move has kind of taken over every aspect of my life at the moment. And I told her, I said, I don't feel like this is permanent. I feel like doing this is a pit stop to where I want to be, but I feel
yeah.
like doing this is entirely necessary for me to get to where I want to go.
Yes.
And she started laughing. She started laughing. She says, where do you want to go? And I said, well, Costa Rica.
Right.
And she started laughing, and she says, are you really? Because I've been joking with my friends for a while now that I'm going to buy land in Costa Rica and move out of the
right.
country. And no, nobody
the other
believes
one is you're going to buy an RV.
Right.
And
well,
travel.
I was kind of serious about that one, but I was sort of really considering that for just a minute.
Right.
But, I gave up that. I'm not quite there yet where I could do that. But, yeah, that to me, the whole thing made sense. And you're right. I have, even though I'm still weighing pros and cons because I'm constantly thinking about it, I have made my decision to go.
Right. Yeah.
And I've even, you know, told my grown kids because I'll be leaving them here.
Right.
And it's been very painful making this decision because I'm leaving children and grandchildren behind.
Right.
But I think I feel like I really need to do this.
Well,
so,
according to what I'm seeing here, you do. And, you know, knowing now that you're leaving people behind makes sense with the Hermit card being your outcome, because you need that time, you know, where you can focus on yourself. So, so I definitely see that coming your way. And, you know, people are going to talk. So.
Every, even from the betrayal card, everything is just dead on. I'm absolutely flabbergasted. I don't even really know what to say.
I hope that
just do me a favor and don't read my cards, okay?
Okay.
I want my stuff. I don't want to know what the hell is going to happen. Let it just, we're going to fly by the seat of our pants here, okay?
Yeah. And see,
so just
I want
keep any
I
kind
want
of information that comes your way. Just hold on to that. It'll be in good hands.
I want a roadmap. I want someone to come in and say, here's what's going to happen in your life, and here's where you need to be, and here's everything, and, you know, this is your ending spot right here. I want that whole map. So
I'm that person that when they say that eventually we're all going to be able to know the date that we're going to die, I don't want to know.
Oh, I want to know it, like, immediately.
Oh, no, I don't want to know. Just let me drop dead of a heart attack someplace, and I'm good to go.
Oh, see, I would want to know that.
Yeah,
I
definitely
totally
want to
know that. Because there are things, for instance, I was supposed to go skydiving for my birthday, and all my plans for that fell through. You know, if somebody had told me that I was going to die April the 12th, I would not have paid my electric bill, and I would have gone skydiving.
Exactly, yes.
Because who cares if they get paid if I'm dead, you know?
Right,
I don't mean to sound like a jerk, but really.
Hey, I'm with you there.
Yeah, I don't want to know. I live every day like it's the last day that I got on Earth.
Well, that's
and that
amazing.
Way, I don't have it. My mom died when I was younger. So since then, you know, she wasn't around to see my son.
Right.
And all those things. So now it's just live every day like it's your last, because tomorrow's not guaranteed. It's not promised.
Right. Right. You're right about that.
So we don't want any kind of clues as to what's going to happen. And if you tell me I'm having four kids, dude, I will hunt
well,
you down.
Well, see, I won't be telling you that. See, I'm the type, the Kindle has completely ruined my life, because I'm the type that would read the last book, the last page of the book as soon as I got into the book, you know. And now that I'm on the Kindle, I can't really do that, because it says you've read this already. So
that's true. See, that's why paperbacks are better.
Right.
I am one of those people that will read the last page first.
Yes, I definitely do
that. To a book, but not to my book.
Yeah.
That's the book of my life, just it.
Right.
You know, something that J.R. Ward wrote or something.
Right, right.
It was really, really nice talking to you. And
you
I'm going to jump off so Willow can finish her show.
Okay, well, thank you.
I'll be listening in, and have a great rest of the show, guys.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Kim.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
I knew she had to be sitting there going, holy cow. And I knew when I saw Marcia's OMG comment, I knew she was sitting there going, holy cow, because they know me very, very well. So,
right.
Well, and I was sitting here just trying to be quiet, you know. So, wow, you are a truly talented individual.
And see, it's so funny because I take it seriously. I don't want you to get the impression that I don't. But I still, because I can't explain how I can do this, I still don't, you know, every time I do a reading, I panic and think, am I going to tell them something totally off the wall that they're going to say, no, that's not me. And so I'm always surprised whenever I'm accurate with it, even though I've been doing this for years. So it still surprises me every time.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, every time it does. So.
Well, you were incredibly, incredibly accurate. And I
well,
want
to
thank
glad
you
to hear
very
that.
Much.
Oh, it's no problem.
It makes me feel better. it makes me feel better about the decision I made, because I did. Today was the day that I said I have to decide today. I've got to, by the end of today and this morning, after talking to my friend, I made the decision to just do it. Because I keep telling my kids, I don't believe in living in fear. Too many people live in fear. I'll use my 18-year-old daughter as an example. Had the opportunity, she's out of school. She had the opportunity to move out of state. Desperately wanted to go. And the day before she left, came home just bawling her head off.
Right.
Telling me, I don't think I can do it, Mom. And I said, now, I want you to listen to me. Take a deep breath, quit crying. I want you to listen to me. And she says, all right. So she calmed down and I said, if your gut is telling you don't do this, it's a bad thing, then just stay here and don't go. But if you're not going because you're afraid, you have to go.
Right.
You have
to
do it. You cannot base what you do in life on fear, because it will keep you from doing anything at all.
Yeah,
so
you're absolutely right. That's great advice.
So I had to take my own advice if I wanted to be a good example.
Right. Don't you hate
sometimes
that?
Our words,
worst part of parenting.
Sometimes our words as parents jump up and bite us right in the butt.
They do.
So that's just crazy, because I made that decision this morning, and even since I said that's it, I'm going, I still have been. Oh man, what if this is the wrong thing to do?
It's not.
That's a long way away. And so, well, look out, Michigan. Willow Cross is coming to town.
Michigan.
Yes.
That's a long way from Arkansas.
It is a long way. It is a long way. But I have some really close friends up there and some family members. And
there is an amazing hockey team up there.
I love hockey. I am a hockey
freak.
I'm originally from Indiana.
Oh, okay.
So I've lived here for 10 and a half years.
Oh, okay.
So for me, it's going to be like going home.
Right.
I cannot get used to brown Christmases.
Yeah, that's what my husband says. He's from New Jersey. He can't get used to that either.
It drives me crazy. I have lost my Christmas spirit. I am one of the most Christmassy people you'd ever meet in your life. I have two full closets, and when I say full, I mean that the boxes are stacked from floor to ceiling of Christmas decorations that I don't pull out anymore. I just pull a few out, just enough to decorate
right.
for the kids and the grandkids, because when you have to wear a tank top and shorts to go Christmas shopping, it's just not
Yeah, that's
like
what
Christmas.
He says, too. And see, I've never known anything but that. So I've been from here
so,
my
yeah.
whole life. So.
So for people that are used to it, it's just, oh, yeah, it's Christmas. And for me, it's
right.
like, where is my snow?
Yeah.
Every year I pray for a white Christmas. I've gotten one a couple times, but mostly it's just hot. Or it's not
I
hot.
I have a
it's,
3-year-old.
You know, 70. Go ahead.
Oh, I have a 3-year-old, and his new thing, because he sees, I think he sees Daniel Tiger doing this. I don't know which cartoon he sees doing this. He wants to go snowboarding. Okay, we're in central
uh-huh.
Louisiana, and he says, can we go snowboarding tomorrow? I'm like, sure. Why not? You know, we're quiet.
We're
going to
cost
no.
a couple plane tickets and a hotel stay. We're going to make
yeah.
it happen.
Sure.
Oh,
so,
that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, that's amazing. Now, just for the listeners, if there are any more of you out there that are interested in calling in and asking questions, we are going to start wrapping the show up. So if you would like to talk to Alicia or myself, now is the time to make your call. I would like to, after all of this awesome paranormal stuff, I would like to talk about your books for just a second so that everybody knows the books that you have out there. I've posted links in the chat room, how to get a hold of you and stuff. But
okay. Well, it's not a very far leap from paranormal into my books.
I was looking at your books, and wow, you've got some steamy looking stuff.
Well, the newest one that came out this week is called The Fallen. And it is different from anything else that I've ever written. I primarily write erotic romance, and I'm a huge romance buff, and there has to be romance in a book for me to even read it or be interested in it. So there's romance in The Fallen, but there's also zombies. And I'm not trying to be cliche with it and say, you know, oh, yeah, we've got zombies because it's popular right now. I actually took something that I think is a little bit strange and a little bit different, and you know, coming from a folklore background, I was looking at what I call traditional voodoo zombies, because in voodoo, a zombie is someone who's lost their soul, and it's, you know, it's a body that is soulless. So I'm combining that concept with also the concept of a creature who is by all appearances dead but is still moving. And sort of mixing up the folklore with the pop culture and coming up with something that I don't know if it's completely new and exciting, but it's new and exciting to me. So, and it's gotten really good reception so far from the people who've read it, because it is still steamy and dark, but it also, you know, plays with these things that are sort of ingrained in our pop culture and sort of twist them around a little bit, which is what I'm interested in doing.
It sounds awesome. And I must be a little psychic because I'm sitting here in my Daryl Dixon T-shirt right now.
Yeah.
So
and
I
you know
you had a zombie book.
I love Daryl, okay, and I don't want to take anything away from Daryl Dixon because he is smoking hot. But Shane, oh, my gosh, Shane was my man. And I know he was crazy, and I understand that. But, you know, had his reasons, okay, because Lori drove him to it. But and I don't know much about the comic books, so I can't speak to them. But, I loved Shane. And the actor who plays him is, I think, absolutely gorgeous. The scene where he shaves his head in season one. Was it season one?
Uh-huh.
I don't remember. Anyway, totally fell in love with
him. I think it was season the end of season one or the beginning of season two.
Yeah.
And we have Marsha.
Okay.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Marcia.
Hello. I know. Hi. I wasn't gonna call in, but then I'm tempted.
Do you have a question for yours?
Yours was really good. I mean, yeah.
Was that amazing or what?
Amazing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
Yeah, amazing. You know. Kimberly, she didn't want it really done. I know. I do believe in this. So, you know, and so many people do. But they're afraid, I think,
uh-huh.
sometimes to call in.
Right. And I understand that. I've had people who tell me, you know, I want to have my cards read, but I'm scared of it. I'm like, what are you afraid of? I'm just going to tell you that, you know, you should probably ask that cute guy out who's at work that you've been staring at for 3 weeks, you know. That's all I'm going to tell you. So.
Are there such things out there? Yeah, right.
So.
Willow, are you happy with that?
Oh, with the reading?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm
still amazed. I swear to you, as soon as we're done with the show, I'm calling Kim so that we can do the fangirl thing and say, "Can you believe she said that?"
Awesome.
Well, I think sometimes you need somebody to just say, "Okay, it's all right."
Right. Right.
And that's what she.
Right.
That's what happened today.
The best thing about it was, she seriously didn't know anything about me. We talked
right.
in maybe 3 Facebook messages about her info
yeah.
for the show write-up. And for, you know, 10 minutes before the show started, and we talked about the show and how it was going to go down. And we didn't talk about anything personal.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Well, that's the thing, because that's the thing. There isn't time really to talk about that, because when you're talking about the shows, whatever, you're talking about
right.
the shows.
It's interesting. I read a lot through Facebook, and I have this guy that I've been reading for about 2 years now, and I didn't know until recently that I was reading for a guy. That's good psychic for you there, right?
Really?
that's
interesting, though.
Because a lot of times, you know, especially around here, men and women will have a Facebook account together if they're married. So, you know, when you get a message that says, "Hey, I heard that you read cards. Would you mind reading mine?" I just assumed it was the woman because I'm kind of sexist like that. Well, as it turns out, it was the guy I've been reading for. And I found out, I said, "Oh, I've been reading for a man."
Wow.
That's
See, sometimes, right, you don't know. You don't. Do people call, they just ask you to read their cards? Is it tarot cards or are they
yeah.
just? Yeah.
No, it's tarot cards. And, you know, it's mostly people who have heard of me, you know, friend of a friend type situation. They say, "Oh, you know, I talked to my cousin, and she said that you read cards. Would you read mine for me?" In fact, before I left to come call for the show, I had a good friend who sent me a message asking if I could read her cards. I said, "I can't do it right now. I'm about to go do a radio show." So I said, "You know, text me a little bit later, and I'll do it." So, and usually when people call, you know, they've got something going on. It's
right.
not like, "Hey, it's a sunny day in, you know, April. Could you read my cards for me?" And it doesn't
Well, I think people really, I think sometimes, you know, you're afraid, but you, like, really want to know. You know,
right.
I used to do a lot of that. I used to go to, you know, places where they did that, you know, sometimes.
Right.
And I have written characters like that because I do believe
yeah.
in it, you know, that some,
and see,
you know.
And see, I don't, I haven't written a character yet who reads cards because I'm not sure how to write it accurately without getting into the really over the top, because when people read paranormal, they want something that's over the top. My most popular series is a shapeshifter series. You know, it's paranormal, but it's over the top paranormal. It's not normal paranormal that we
right, right,
deal
right.
with every day. So,
there is over the top. There is a lot
right.
of stuff over the top. You know,
yeah.
because so many people are new writers, it is over the top.
Right. And I think that, you know, my paranormal life is kind of boring compared to other people's because I've never been, you know, dragged around the house by my hair or anything like that by a ghost.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, you know, my stuff is kind of mild.
You would be shocked because I'll tell you what, my best-selling series is my haunted series.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to toot my own horn. That's just the way it worked out. And I wrote
right.
haunted one because I have not ever experienced nobody's I've not been picked up and thrown against the wall or walked out
right,
my kitchen
right.
with all my table and chairs stuck to the ceiling or blood
yeah,
running down the
yeah.
wall.
Yeah, yeah.
I have nothing like that. But I wrote it about my ghost stories, just ghosts that I've interacted with, and it was just a couple of stories, a few stories of, and very mild. And I even put in the beginning of the book, you know, if you're expecting movie quality scary stories,
right,
you're
right.
going to be sorely disappointed, because these are true ghost stories.
Right.
I've added nothing for dramatic effect. And I just wrote it to give to the fans on Halloween for something fun for them. And they just ate it up. And
right.
so I had to write the second one, and then they wanted another one. And now there's four. And the fact, every so often I'll get a review where they'll say, you know, this was so lame, it was so boring.
Right.
And then I always think, did you not read the foreword of the book?
Exactly. Did you not?
No, yeah, but, you know, look at all the ghost shows on TV now.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
so that you, if you're seeing all of that, then you're seeing that, you know, this is really important
right.
to people now.
Right.
And even they don't find things sometimes. Sometimes you can watch a whole episode and all they get is an orb, one orb for an hour.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
It's sometimes it's not paranormal activity.
Right. And I think that's what people have come to expect. So,
right. But
they've
you
got,
might
right.
be surprised. You write a think about writing a true story about
right.
reading cards and how it works, because I bet they will love it.
Yeah.
We all love, well, I can't say we all, I love over-the-top paranormal. If
right,
you look
I
at my
too.
List of even my TV shows are Grimm, Supernatural.
I was about
True
to mention
Blood.
Dean Winchester. I'll give you Daryl Dixon, but Dean Winchester is mine.
No, girl, no.
So,
listen,
let's just establish that right now.
He does not know it yet, but if he ever decides he likes short, fat women, he will be my next ex-husband. I think he's beautiful. I just think
oh, yeah.
he's so beautiful. Jensen, if you're listening to this show, I will
yeah,
always be
Jensen,
your number one
we
fan.
Love you.
Maybe he could go to Michigan with. Maybe he could come to Michigan.
However, we know that you're happily married.
Hey, read his cards. Let's find out. Is he?
Maybe he's not really all
Do we
that
stand
happy.
A chance?
Have you done that when you just want to know something about somebody,
no.
I mean, even if they're not around? Can you,
no,
would,
I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't. That's a really good idea. Very, very sneaky.
Yeah,
you should try it sometime. And then just do a little, pick a Facebook friend that you don't know much
right.
about.
And say,
and
hey,
then go stalk their Facebook page and see what they said.
Well, there would be a lot of people, because you don't really know what they're, you don't, you know,
right.
the thing is about Facebook, if you don't ever hear them on a show or talk to them, you really don't know if they're a man or woman or what.
Right,
you really don't
right.
know the age. You don't know anything. So, I mean, if people think they trust, you know, you don't know people on there. You
right.
don't really always know who they are, because, you know, it's what's the difference if it's a man and he puts the picture up? It doesn't make a
right.
difference.
Right,
right. Right.
Yeah.
That's true. That's what I've told my girls for years. Don't accept people you don't know. Just because it looks
right.
like she's your age doesn't mean it's not a 40-year-old creeper.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. That could be. Yeah, that's not good. You know. Anyway, it's a good show. I was listening. Sometimes I kept going in and out because I keep doing different things. Maybe I should ask a question. Like, I'm thinking if I should ask a question. The only question I would ask about myself for a card is, what type of writing future would I have?
What type of writing future? Let me get the cards back out.
Yeah, maybe we should do that. I'll just see what
okay.
that is. But I'll be
Hold
sorry
on
if I don't do it.
Okay. Sorry. Hold on sorry. Just a second. Let me mix them up again real quick.
Okay.
I see the Seven of Pentacles. And as I was telling her, Pentacles represents financial, represents money, security. And because it's a seven, that means that it is a lot higher up, you know, because seven's obviously a higher number. So I see you being successful, but at this point not wildly overnight sensation type of success, but I see definite success, steady success, which is what we're looking for in this business.
Yeah.
Yep.
I agree. Yay! I'm so glad you're my friend.
Yeah.
No, now that we know
what,
that you're going to be
that's
successful.
That's what's called the cards are knowing that I do everything for free, so it's going to take a long time to
right.
make money.
But, you know, steady success is good.
Yeah, but that is what, you know what, the truth of the matter is, that is what this is all about.
Right.
It's not, it isn't really about money a lot of times, because it's just, there's so many people out there that it's very difficult to make a lot of money when you're in the mix with billions.
Right.
I don't know how many people are on, you know, Amazon.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, there are really a lot of people that have done books. So
right.
we're all in competition. And as you all know, the numbers go up and down every 5 seconds on
yes,
Amazon.
Yes, they do, because I've been
I don't even know what this means
them.
Anymore. I'm so sick of it, I can't even look at it. You know,
right.
I really got myself together, actually, on what I'm doing. Because you have to. You have to make a focal point.
Right.
You have to make a focus sometime and just let it go the way it is.
Right, right.
Because you can't, you just can't leave yourself wide open. There's too much there. Which we all know, Willow. We all
yeah,
know what
right.
that is. You know, you don't, because
right.
people that don't, it's not a question of, like, focusing. It's really nobody's fault that they're not that focused, because this is almost like a bunch of kids playing a game, because you're on Facebook, and this, you go like, oh, here's something else I should do. And
right.
it's every 5 minutes there's something else you should do, which takes your mind off what you were just doing.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And do something else, so you're not, I'm trying actually to complete tasks. Finish them, and I will stay up as long as it takes. And I really, that's really the truth. You have to finish the task, because
right.
otherwise,
you're right about that.
Otherwise you don't. I mean, I'm finally getting that, and maybe that is my boat. My ship will come in. Is that what? Because I'm finally getting. It really takes a long time to get that. You know, this is a very slow pace business, unless you
yes.
strike it.
Right.
One day, and very few people ever do that.
For the most part, you need to plan. This is what I tell when I meet authors that are about to publish for the first time or newly published authors, and they'll say, so, they ask me a lot, what's your best advice? What's the most important thing you think I should know? And I always tell them, you should plan on this being a long haul sort of deal.
Right.
We have folks that get lucky and are overnight successes, and I'm always terribly excited for them when I see that happen. But
well, it's very lucky.
The majority
it's very lucky.
Of the authors
yeah.
out
right.
there, they must continue and work at it and hang in for the long haul.
Right.
But most
and,
of them don't.
You know,
they really, unfortunately, they don't.
Well, and that's interesting that you say that, because I actually gave up writing for 5 years. I just stopped altogether. I was burnt out. I was at a point in my personal life. I was going through a really horrible marriage and then divorce, and I just stopped writing. And now that I'm writing again, I can't believe that I ever stopped. And
yeah.
I see my mm-hmm. friends that started the same time I started, and I'm thinking, wow, if I hadn't have lost those 5 years, I would be so much further along than I am now. But, you know, you
well,
live
not
and
really,
learn.
not really, though, because you might not have gotten published with the right person or,
right,
you know,
right.
Well,
and I wasn't ready then to write the kinds of stories that I'm writing now.
Right, right. So then it all worked out.
Yeah, we talked about hockey a little bit earlier. I've got a hockey series, and that was something that wasn't even in my vocabulary at that point in my life, because I had no experience with hockey whatsoever, and now I'm a big fan and am writing a hockey series, so I would have never guessed that at that point in my life. So
you can't. That's the good part of life, is that you can't know everything.
Right.
Which makes it more exciting, because if you knew everything, it's really not that exciting. You know, this
I don't
is
know.
Kind of,
I kind of want to know everything. That's what we were just talking about with Kimberly.
I know. I heard that. I know. I do, but it's really, it's better not to, I guess. I don't know. All right. This is a good show. Will, I'm getting off. All right. And is Tracy
okay,
not on? Is Tracy, on? I don't hear. She's not on.
Tracy is ill tonight. So,
oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't hear her. I'm thinking, like, is she quiet tonight, or I don't hear her?
No, she couldn't make it. And she said she'd try to go ahead and stick it out. And I told her, honey, go to bed.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
thank you for calling in, though.
All right, thank you. I don't think she knows that you were on my show. Do you know who I am?
Yes, I
remember
talking to you.
I didn't know if you knew it was somebody
else
or not.
No, I remember talking to you. I recognized your voice.
Yeah. Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes.
That's right. Why wouldn't you? Right. Why wouldn't you know? Right. I know people do know, recognize that voice, I guess. Okay. So that's my slow speed. Now I'll just say that on my show. Now I have a slow, slow pace here. All right. Good night. Have a great weekend, everybody. Willow, it's good. It's good you found that out, though.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah. All right. Take care, everybody.
All right. Thanks.
You
too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I thought she was the Marcia you were talking about. I was like, I know that voice. I remember talking
to
her.
Yeah,
she's
a very distinctive voice.
Right. Well, I talked after the interview. I told my husband, I said, she wasn't no Southerner. I forgot where she told me she was from, but it was somewhere up north.
Chicago.
Yes, Chicago.
Yes, she's from Chicago. Wow. Well, I guess... it's 10:30, and we've gone an hour and a half this time. So, folks, we're doing better than
right.
what we've done. But I think we'll probably just go ahead and wrap it up. I want to thank you for coming on. I want to thank you for validating my decision and again tell you just how amazed I am at how accurate that reading was. And you, I need to contact you in 2 weeks.
Yes, 2 weeks. Let me know how it's going, and I'll tell you how I think it's going. Actually,
okay.
Let me tell you how I think it's going, then you tell me how it's going.
Okay.
So
I will do that, definitely. And before we go, you can find Alicia on Facebook. I've posted the links. The links are also on the website. You can find her on Twitter. You can... just about anywhere, if you Google her, she's got a blog spot, and we have all those links available for you. Check her out. Get on Amazon and check out those books, because they look good.
Yes, and I would like to say that I am a writing machine, and people ask me constantly, well, how's the new book coming along? And I'm like, which one? And they'll say, oh, you know, the one about the hockey team. Like, oh, I published that one 2 books ago. I'm now on this because I write very quickly. And I think it's a disease or something. I can't stop. I'm always working on at least 3 books at once. So
I do that too.
I think a lot of us
because
do
I
that.
Get bored.
Exactly, that's what I do too. I get tired of my angsty characters and want to go with someone who's a little bit more flirty and fun for a little while, and then go back to the angst. So yeah, I
always have a horror in a comedy or something similar to that going on at the same time. One is very dark and one is very light. That way...
Yeah, I try to do that too.
If I'm in a mood and I need to kill people, I go kill people.
Well, and it's like my good friend Ginger Ring said. She's also a writer. She's going to love the shout-out. She told me that, you know, there are very few businesses that you're in where you can create your own man.
Right.
So, you know, one day I'm in the mood for chocolate and one day I want vanilla. You know what I'm saying? Some days you want something that's, you know, a darker, steamier type of romance, and the other days you want something that's a little bit light and flirty. So,
yeah.
I never looked at it as building your own man until she pointed that out. She showed me a picture and she's like, hey, I think this is my new guy. And she said, isn't it fun to build your own man? I said, hey, that is what we're doing, isn't it? And building our alter egos, too.
For me, my kids don't get it, because I didn't start writing and getting into that until I was 39.
Mm-hmm.
And they've several times have said, I don't see how you can just sit there at the computer and do that all day.
Right.
And every time I just laugh, and I'm like, because I am the master of my universe when I'm creating a story.
Right. I can create kids that don't talk back.
There is no place on the planet you can find a job where you get to be the creator and ruler of all.
Exactly. I don't know. My characters sometimes do their own thing, so...
Well, that's true. I agree with that. Sometimes the story will just take off and go turn left and keep going. But you still control it. I mean, you could go back and delete those pages and take it a different direction if you wanted.
That's true.
So
it hurts.
Anyhow, thank you so much for coming on, and for all of our listeners out there, Please make sure you check out Alicia Sparks. Please make sure you check out The Paranormal Hour on Facebook. You can find us at hashtag The Paranormal Hour on Twitter. And tune in 2 weeks when we will have Isobel Kate. I hope. Am I saying her name right? She is a...
I don't know. I always pronounce it Isabel.
Isabel.
I'm not sure
how
she pronounces
it. Is Isabel.
But she's amazing. She's amazing. I love her.
And she's from the UK.
Yes.
She's going to come on and talk about some of her ghosting adventures.
Yes.
And this should be a really good show. And Alicia, anytime you want to come back, you are welcome. Anytime.
Well, thank you so much. I really had a good time tonight, and I appreciate it.
I'm glad you did, and so did I. And good night, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.